Hi, April.
But aren't Justin has taken him to the memorial? Are they letting him in?
They're letting our.
No, I just went to the cheap.
On Saturday, there's.
Don't forget to turn off your cell phone.
Five, seven ones going. You were one of them.
This old order is, okay. Just making sure I don't want you to like. I just didn't want like.
Call meetings order.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Eric Anderson.
Here.
April Bingo.
Here.
Andrew Brockway. Kathy Buckley. Michael Hagedorn.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Debbie Passano.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Bradley Check.
Here.
Approval of agenda. Resolved that the superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Eric.
Second.
Pauline. Any questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll now open the public comment. If anyone has any issues they'd like to address to the board.
Hi.
Hi, please give us your name.
Hi, my name is Robert Burnham. And I have a kindergartner who entered school this year at Beekman Town. And I am here tonight in front of you to request that we look into a AM and or PM latchkey program. The 9 o'clock starting time for the elementary school, I'll be honest with you, for a working family, it's a complete nightmare. I've been in the school system for 25 years. My wife, she is the accountant up at Clinton Community College, and a 9 o'clock start time for the elementary school for working families is nearly impossible for us to get a five-year-old on the bus and get them to school on time. Being a transplant, I don't have the luxury of having sisters or grandparents or anything like that. I can take care of my kid when I'm not in the house. And I think we really need to look at something that can accommodate and meet the needs of the families and the kids. You know, I've been fortunate that I have a neighbor who takes my son. It's not the ideal setting by any means, but you know, if I could get him here, my wife could drop him off, say 8 o'clock in the morning. We know he's here, we know he's safe, we know what he's doing. And I think that would ease a lot of problems. Now, like I said, I've been in the system for 25 years. I know it costs money, as everything costs money. I think we could work it out, you know. I think there's money out there. I think you could find money if we could do it. And I think the kids would benefit from it. Okay?
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'd just like to thank Mr. Burnham for addressing me before the board meeting, sharing these concerns. And we have a plan of action that he's going to email me tomorrow, and he gave me some background information, and we'll work on it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment at this time? Okay, we'll move on. We have a presentation this evening. The topic is improvements to registration and residency requirements, and our presenter is Gary Lambert, our educational technology coordinator. So I'll turn the floor to you.
Yeah, if everyone could join us over here. Thank you.
I wanted to start off just by thanking Mr. Mannix and the board for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all tonight. This is a subject that I've been involved with for quite some time, and many of you may not know anything about it. So hopefully you'll come away with a greater understanding of what we do differently here at Beekmantown than some other districts. And let's begin. So first, a little bit of history. Why do we even have centralized registration, and what exactly is it? We have to set the Wayback Machine to prior to January 2010 to answer that question. Back prior to that time, each building was responsible for registering students at the building level. You had a variety of administrators, a variety of clerical people. There was a fair amount of turnover among the clerical pool, not to mention the administrative staff. So there was a lack of consistency, first of all. Second of all, residency issues, if they were addressed or if they were noticed, there was very, very little time for follow-up at the building level. And again, a lot of things fell through the cracks at the building level. Data entry into our student management system, which at the time was a system called StarWeb, was very inconsistent. Without putting a judgment call here, I would say it was fairly sloppy. And that led to an enormous number of problems down the road. Think of registration as a funnel, and whatever you put into it comes out somewhere, and that somewhere usually ends up being at the state level, where you have very little latitude to fix the problems that start at the building level. And as you can imagine, there were often breakdowns in communication between the building levels and various departments that had a need for knowing the information. For my department, we were always called in to bat cleanup time and time and time again through several superintendents, I can tell you, and several business administrators who helped try to address the problem through training. And we finally said, stop, there's got to be a better way. And one thing, I didn't put it last because it's necessarily most important, but I don't want to forget about it, is the parent experience. Parents, the first thing that they see of our district when they come into the district is how they're welcomed and how their children are enrolled in the district. And really the last thing you want to have them see is a laborious process of form after form after form after form where they're duplicating an address or a name on, you know, several different forms. So we thought there would be a better way that we could address this, and we started looking at best practices in other districts. And we came to find out there are not many districts in this area at all that use centralized registration. We really had to go outside of the area to take a look at what some other districts were doing. So this led to some very positive results, and it's taken some time, but I will say persistence has paid off. First of all, consistency. That's first and foremost, both alphabetically and as far as priority-wise. We now have a standardized, consistent approach to how all students are entered, are enrolled in the district. And consolidation. I mentioned that we had, you know, a multiplicity of forms. We have now consolidated those forms into one single online form, which can be shared electronically, and I'll point that out in just a moment. Having a single point of enrollment allows us to control that funnel a lot better. There are only two people in the district. One of them is a BOCES employee, and one of them is a district employee who handles student registration. I'm kind of the third backup if need be. Unfortunately, I've never had to do it, but I could if called upon. Also, we have single point of entry into SchoolTool. This is our current student information system, which is a lot friendlier and a lot more accessible than StarWeb ever was. But it also gives us the capacity to know that the data that we're putting in is accurate and then flows into all of these other systems that we have in the district. I mentioned that the consolidation of forms in the electronic form. When students are registered in the district, immediate notification is presented to the school lunch manager, the transportation supervisor, the building level administrators, clerical staff, as well as, did I mention school nurse already? If I didn't, I meant to. All of those people are notified with the appropriate information immediately via email. So there's no wondering about, well, who is the student, where are they coming from, is there any allergies, is there any information that, you know, it's all there for those people who have a need to see it. And the accessibility of data. One of the things that I think is also fairly unique about our district, we scan all proofs of residency and have a repository on one of our servers that information resides. So if any building level secretary or administrator has a need to verify residency information, they can do that at the building level. They still have access to the information. So we're not hoarding the information, actually quite to the contrary. We're sharing the information with those who have a need to see it, but we're doing it from a central location. And that is very, very different, by the way. I mean, I can't overemphasize how different that was to get information from the building levels previously. I'm looking around the room and there's not a single administrator who was in the position they were in back in January of 2010. So they weren't even a part of this process, but had they been, they would be shaking their heads, yes, this is very different than what we had before. Our data reports for the data warehouse, this is the state repository, it's actually the BOCES repository for state reporting. Our error rates are so low compared to where they used to be. I mean, it used to take days and days and days to go through all of the errors. Now it's a question of minutes, usually. And the parent portal, I mentioned the parent experience on the last slide. I'm mentioning the parent portal as the positive result of the parent experience. Now, we actually are able to give parents their login credentials immediately for the parent portal. So what is the parent portal, for those of you that aren't aware? Our student information system, SchoolTool, gives parents and students ability to access their grades, their attendance information, discipline history, schedule, all of that information right from any internet-connected device. So we control the ability of parents to do that right from the registrar's office, too. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for them coming into the district, and I think most people are finding it's a very, very positive experience. This last one I did leave for last because it is incredibly important. I know it's on the minds of the board, and I wanted to make sure that I highlighted it. Having two people who see all of the people that come into the district and all of the people who are registering have a great sensitivity to their responsibility to be gatekeepers for the district. And I'm going to highlight some things that were very different prior to this year and even recent years. Some of the challenges that we face, and some of these I would love to pretend they're going to go away, but some of them will always be with us. But I just want to point out some of them to you. Change, as any system, any organization that experiences change is going to find resistance, people that are ingrained in the way they've done things. And I put this on here twice, not by mistake. The first bit of change, I think, affected our community because they're used to relying at the building level to do things. So it's been a change for them to have to get in the mindset of coming to the main building campus and going to a specific location rather than the building that they know their kids will end up going to. But for staff, it's been a challenge as well. Staff that have been here for an awful long time have a tendency to want to help out and jump right in a process that they no longer have a familiarity to. So it's this beating the drum constantly of reminding people that, no, that's all going to the central registrar now. And, you know, you'd think 3 years later everybody would have that in their minds, but we constantly just keep reminding. Communication is always, always, always important because some people forget that they need to include us in the loop, but I think that's been getting better. I'm going to highlight an example of that soon. In residency, it is amazing to me. My eyes have been opened up. I don't want to say I was naive before, but my eyes have been opened up tremendously to see how many people try to skirt the system to attend our district. That's flattering in a certain respect, but it's also very frustrating in another. And Mary Blaine and I were having a conversation about this the other day, and she brought up a point that I think many of us wouldn't have considered. People who try to skirt residency, legal residency in the district, are really harming the district twice. First of all, they're diluting the resources that we have available to our legal resident population and our students. But second of all, if a family is really residing in another district, then their district of residency is getting the aid for that child that we're not. So we're really getting dinged twice. So this is why we really take this responsibility seriously, because we're having a central registrar is the only place that we can really get a handle on it. So I want to highlight some challenges. I want to highlight some successes now. We have tightened up the procedures in the registrar's office thanks to Mr. Mannix giving us a little bit broader authority to follow up on residency issues that were previously done out of our office. We recently sent out of a stack of, I think the count is 28 open residency cases. We have last week sent out 14 letters to families with drop-dead dates to the families that they need to provide us legal proofs of residency or else their child will be unenrolled. And, you know, it sounds like we're going after people. We're really not. We're doing our due diligence to make sure that the people that are here
belong here. And I would think from a taxpayer perspective, you should really appreciate the efforts that are going into that, because it's making the experience better for everybody that is here. Second of all, we've also come up with standardized documentation that's sent out to all families. Everyone gets the same message. It's not like we're treating anybody any differently than any other. And I have to say, we've had a good measure of success with this. When we've had individuals who have been notified, they have finally come out of the woodwork and brought us the information, which we're happy to see, because we know that they're legally, we're obligated to accept their children. But the ones who aren't, it's not as if they have nowhere to go. Every district that is bordering us will accept, they're legally responsible to accept the students as well. But that place might not be Beekmantown for them. And it is sad for those families that have been here for a while, but the way that we look at it is, even if it was overlooked for a year or two, they got 2 years of a free education at Beekmantown that they can now go somewhere else to get. And I kind of just preempted myself, but residency solutions, I think, or resolutions, are some things that we've had a good deal of success with. And that stack sounds like it's a huge number. Those are some leftovers that, again, I would say they weren't handled out of our office, the follow-up on them. Now that they are, that stack will continue to dwindle, and there will be much fewer of them ever getting in the door, because we're scrutinizing more so than ever before. And one thing I will say that changed last year, we used to have as a policy or a procedure, and we were encouraged to do this, is let people in first, follow up and get the proofs of residency later. Really a bad idea. Really bad idea, because once they're in the party, you lose track of them and, you know, forget it. You're never getting the stuff back. And that's where most of that stack that I was referring to came from. We now have, it is going to be codified, hopefully, in board policy, that they do not get enrolled until they have three proofs of residency, period. And it's very frustrating, and to the people that are bearing the brunt of that frustration in the registrar's office, hats off to them, because they encounter a lot of resistance from families. But we're not Ellis Island. We're not just taking refugees from, unless they're homeless. we're not taking refugees from every other district. It's, if you legally belong here, then prove to us. We have an obligation for the taxpayers in the district to make sure that people belong here. Just recently, the transportation department, the business office superintendent, and myself sat down to discuss the parochial students and the need to involve them in the registration process. So we're basically making sure that there is no separate satellite registration process happening that's a duplication of what we're doing, for many reasons, but primarily because we receive state aid for the purposes of, you know, textbook aid, nurse's office, transportation. If we're not counting them, we're shorting ourselves. So having them as part of this process is, I think, again, a big success. I want to highlight here, I saw Mr. Brink earlier. I don't know where he is right now, but, there he is. I want to kind of give kudos to Mr. Brink and his bus drivers, because one of the things that we've seen recently has been an increased cooperation on the part of the bus drivers to have a keener awareness of what's going on. They probably always had an awareness, but now they have a reporting capability to go from them to Shane, Shane to us, and now we have the ability to follow up on it. In fact, we had a case just yesterday that we followed up on as recently as this morning. So they're our eyes in the field. They're the ones that are going to help us keep track of this stuff. And again, being able to better allocate the resources that we do have, I consider that a huge success. So just really briefly, where do we go from here? Told you where we were. Where are we going? There's one thing that I would suggest. I've already mentioned it to Mr. Mannix. We do kindergarten registration at the main building campus here in the registrar's office. I'd like to see an expansion of that happen for Cumberland Head as well. Something to consider. So the parents, again, that what we do is we put on a roadshow basically and take all of our resources over there. We have an office that can accommodate, I believe, five or six simultaneous registrations at a time now. Student registration, if you've never seen it, it's crazy. There are families everywhere. If we can speed that process along, it helps everybody out in the process, gets us better info to know who's actually coming in a timely manner. But the second part of it, which is immediate future, are some policy changes. I did make mention of that earlier. There have, at Mr. Mannix's request, I have forwarded to him for the policy committee several of our existing policies that should I am recommending be updated with language to tighten things up a bit and make give our registrar's office a little bit better teeth to exercise their duties there, as well as some other suggestions for the process. It's always going to be a work in progress, but I can tell you if you went back to 2010, you would find that you wouldn't want to be there compared to now. And other districts have actually contacted us. Malone was one of them, to find out how are we doing what we do. So I don't want to say we're going to be a model for the universe, but we're certainly known for what we do. A lot of districts talk about doing it. We're one of the first ones that I know of that has around here. So I don't know how far over my time I went, but I was trying to talk fast.
You did not go over time, and I just want to, as a parent, I want to thank Administrator Lambert, because I've registered my two boys here at school in, I think it was August 22nd. Sure. And it was very seamless for my wife to come in and do that. And then he talked about the resources, and like he said, we're not targeting anybody, but for instance, there was one young lady who was at school and was registered for BOCES career and tech class. The bill for that class would have been over $10,000. So we're working on that case. There's been other people who we've used my previous position. We've called the superintendents that I've networked with and said, listen, this person's actually your resident. They're apprehensive about attending your school. Can you meet them at the door? Can you walk them around? And I mentioned before at a board meeting, those people have come back and enrolled in that school and thanked us for their help. So it's really helped. And there's also, we have great programs. Our special education program, people really seek out all the experts we have here. And that's kudos to us, but it's not an open door policy. They're very, very expensive. So through this process, we've been able to safeguard that and been a good steward with the taxpayers' dollars. So I really want to thank him for his efforts in streamlining this and making it consistent for everybody. It's really paid great benefits, so thank him.
Any questions at all? Yes?
You mentioned 28 open cases and 14 letters. I guess, yes. The other 14 cases were resolved?
It's just for human resource reasons. We didn't want to throw all 28 cases out at the same time because we didn't know how flooded we were going to get, all these calls and all these emails and all these things back. So I directed Susan Field in the registrar's office, give it a week, then send out wave two, just so she wasn't overwhelmed. And I have to say, what's very interesting, without revealing names or anything, I think I did forward to several of the building administrators one of the voicemails I received. One of the parents who responded to the letter was not protesting in any way the residency of her daughter as not being in the district, but how unfair it was to rip her from such a great school district, which I thought was kind of a backhanded compliment, but we're doing our job. You know, it's nothing personal, and it is unfortunate. You know, it truly is. The case that Mr. Mannix was referring to was a senior, and unfortunately that, you know, if a parent moves, the legal residency moves with the parent. So it's not always a fun thing, but we're doing the job that and our task that we're being asked to do. And I think everyone will see a benefit in the long run because of it. And word will get around that it's not an easy place to just slip into Beekman Town. So.
Can I share an experience I had?
Sure.
Because I think you often hear people who are complaining,
yes,
about the registrar's office. And this summer I was in doing either my orientation or schedule night, and the clerk in there had made an appointment, a parent had called, there was no way they could come during regular business hours, had five kids to register, and said, can I come in? And she's like, yeah, I'll come back, I'll meet you here at 6 o'clock at night. So she came back in, you know, no compensation as far as I understand, just came in to, because that was the only time that parent could register five kids.
That's just one other comment off of that, and I appreciate you reminding me of it. I mentioned that the registration form we have is an online form. One of the things that is a huge benefit for people that are moving from out of state or out of area is it's a password protected page, so not anybody can just hop on and register their kids, because as soon as they complete the process, they think that the next day they can show up and their kids have a schedule waiting for them. So what we do is when we're contacted, we will issue passwords to people remotely so that they can complete 90% of the process before they ever come, so that all they're really bringing us is their proofs of residency, immunization records, and so forth. So for them, it turns a, you know, somewhat lengthy process, but important one, it's their kids, into a much more streamlined process for them, and they feel like we were really listening to them and catering to their time. So I appreciate you reminding me of that. So. That's it.
Any
I'd like to thank you, Gary, for the presentation. I know it was a concern going into this year. There were a lot of loose ends, it seemed, that needed to be taken care of. So
I appreciate the latitude because we can fix problems when we're given the ability to do so.
Well, so credit to both you and Dan. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Gary. State expert coming in from Champlain Valley Educational Services to present to the Board of Education and any folks that are going to be here on the Common Core Learning Standards and how those Common Core Learning Standards are being implemented in our school district. So Terry Calabrese Gray from CBES will be here. She's confirmed that to be here on the 22nd to give a presentation and then answer questions. So that should be a strong program to a very dramatic shift in learning for our children. And piggybacking on that, we have two outstanding professional development days, one on Friday and one on Tuesday, where we've used our Race to the Top funds that we have left. This is the last year for our Race to the Top grant, and we have some funds left, and we are really digging into the Common Core and having our teachers attend training that directly relates to how they're instructing in their classroom. And then we're also bringing in, on those 2 days, experts from two different BOCES to help our teachers that are currently teaching classes that need to be teach classes aligned to the Common Core standards and then and the testing associated with that. And then the other people, the high school, New York State is basically staggering implementation, I'd say, for the high school classes. So some of those teachers are more just beginning to comprehend the dramatic shifts that I talked about. So we're bringing in experts to inform them, to inform instruction, to give them a lot of different resources. So I give a lot of credit, worked so hard with our administrative team over here to build these two outstanding days where multiple people are coming in, and it's all targeted. It's not just one presentation fits all. We're targeting the specific grade levels, we're targeting the specific subject areas, and we really feel that it's going to benefit everybody. So everybody from special education, from K through 12, I appreciate the work of our administrative team. I have coming up, and I just found out this today, so I haven't told my friend Mr. Brink over there, Supervisor Brink, but we have a meeting on Friday where we will begin discussing, looking at transportation issues. We've had some transportation issues with our buses breaking down, and we've spent a number of years since we've purchased buses, and we need to look at what's our current fleet looking like and what would the projections be moving forward and how do we maintain the appropriate fleet for a school our size. And on Friday we'll be discussing what does it look like for propane, for the possibility of a propane bus being utilized here. Again, we're not trying to dictate our direction. We're just trying to gather information because we'd be silly to do anything but that. So then we can make informed decisions. And lastly, my last report is we negotiated over the last 24 hours. We've spent about 8 to 10 of those hours with our two bargaining units, our two largest bargaining units, and there's been a lot of progress. And I want to publicly credit their association leadership for working together with the district and showing movement. I also want to credit my team members, four of which are around
the table right now. So I think it was two very productive sessions, and hopefully in the near future, both the units and the district will be reaping the benefits of this collaborative effort.
Thank you. Mary?
On tonight's agenda, we have some grants that have been approved, and just as a side comment, federal furlough and impact on the school district. The Title I ID and the IDEA grants do fall under federal furlough. We have not been advised of any delays or discrepancies or lack of funding. Our understanding is just a deferral of funding. Once they approve a grant, they send out the first payment, first 20% payment of the annual total. So we've actually gotten those deposits. So it doesn't appear that the federal furlough has had any impact on that. From cafeteria operations, Mrs. Barn, I had contacted USDA. Actually, a shipment arrived this week, so that wasn't impacted either. The grants are just on for your approval because we will be putting those budgets in. So activities obviously started with the start of school as far as payroll and teachers, but as far as other activities under the grants, those will start once we have the board approval on it. We have some tax cert claims that have been filed with the district at the end of August and in the month of September based upon the current year school bills. Some of these claims you may recognize, the tax parcel numbers are 2, 3, 4 years in the making, as the judicial proceedings sometimes take a length of time. We reserve the amount that the parties have asked for legally, that the adjustment be made to whatever the assessed value is they're disputing and what they're requesting the assessed value be, and we actually take the exact amount of what that refund is that they're asking for, and that's the amount of what the reserve is. I think off the top of my head, the total, you've got individual parcel numbers, the total is about $237,000 we're asking to take out of fund balance and put into the tax cert reserve so that we have it there potentially to pay these at whatever point they are settled. Also, there's a donation on tonight's agenda for you to accept. The Booster Club has generously donated monies for wrestling mats. We have school tax collections have been underway. The penalty period expired on September 30th. Tracking this year against last year, we're right on par. I think we're within a few thousand dollars of where we were last year in collections. The capital project is wrapping up soon. We actually have some activities happening later this week on Friday and over the weekend to close those up. So we anticipate that will go very smoothly. And the final thing is the track resurfacing was completed a couple of weeks ago. That looks really nice. I was out there. We took some pictures. We spoke with the contractors and the workers of the contractors. When I spoke to them and just queried them on the estimated life of the track once this is done, the contractor, the owner, had said, you know, you're going to get 10 to 15 years, and the workers pretty much repeated that and said you'll easily get 15 or more years out of this. So it's done, it looks nice, and it's great.
Mary, if I can just tag on to that for a second. Today I was fortunate to be called at this busy schedule this morning, and they called me down from the elementary school. Principal Dixon called me down and said, you've got to go up in the hook and ladder because the kids are having fire prevention day. So I was able to go up in the hook and ladder, and up there I could see the nice Vermont mountains and Adirondack mountains, but I could see the beautiful track, and I took a picture, so we'll be posting that. But more importantly, I've worked at four or five fire prevention days, and the fire prevention show that Barb Stone and Principal Dixon put on was by far the best I've ever seen. They had stations, they had just the most amazing resources for our students to learn. They had one trailer that was filled with smoke. I don't know if any of you know this. Mm-hmm. And the students learned how to actually crawl out of the smoke-filled room. And to have that experience is it's invaluable. So it was a great day for Principal Dixon and a great day for me.
Is that it, Mary?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Check?
Hello.
Hello.
We have had a great first month. I can't believe it's that month. Back to school this school year. Couple points. Last meeting I had mentioned about the student parking lot. To my knowledge, I believe that was fixed and there's no more issues with it right now, which is great. Our student council is working, is in the process of giving an online forum for high school students in case, you know, like a student has an idea or an issue that, and they can't come find one of us, then they can go online at any time and through our website and type in their email. It can be anonymous if they want to, and send their report to us, and we'll get it immediately, and we'll work to fix the issue or take into consideration their idea. Class banner decorating. I don't know if many of you know this, but each class has their own. On October 16th, each class has their own separate room, and they work on a banner for homecoming, and then for our homecoming dance, and they are judged, and the winner gets to display their banner at our homecoming, which is very fun. I've been to all of them, and you get pizza. Our high school pep rally is on Friday, October 18th. The student council voted to opt out of the obstacle course that all the officers are required to participate in for multiple reasons. First of all, it took way too long. Pep rally is supposed to be pepping up the sports teams for their homecoming game, football team especially. But it was too long, took up most of the time. It didn't get a lot of student involvement. It was just like the class officers participating, and there was multiple injuries the past couple of years. Some student broke his collarbone, and so we got rid of that, and now we're having a larger student scale class competition, less dangerous, more student involvement, so a maximum of 40 students per class can participate, and there are just like little games, competitions, hula hoop passing, and to get, you know, still kind of the obstacle course, but different and more safe. Our National Honor Society is working towards a chapter project within the community. It has yet to be determined, but some students will be volunteering at a zombie run on October 20th. They will dress up in zombies and as witches and chase around the runners throughout the field. Going on to our music department, some students were selected to attend the Area All-State Conference to be held over November around the break time. And those students' names are displayed on the announcements. I don't know if you guys knew this. I found out today, and I wasn't here last meeting, so I don't know if it was discussed. The high school and middle school library is now partnered with the Plattsburgh Public Library, where students can now get a library card through our library. And this card will give students access to over 1,000 e-books that can be checked out on any electronic device, which I think is a great opportunity for the students, not only for the education, but for just leisure reading if they have time. And I believe that is it, other than the fact that students, including myself, are looking forward to the well-deserved 4.5-day break this weekend.
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome.
Okay. Committee reports.
I have one on quickly on policy. We have the minutes here, but basically we talked about more discussions on the valedictorian salutatorian policy, or it may end up being just a some sort of an honor policy. We talked about some discussion on if there's any need to change our public comment policy. We decided to make no changes, but starting, for example, tonight, we have some board members who are present 15 minutes or so roughly before the board meeting, so that's gonna be something that you know, not all board members will be present, but hopefully we can get a good representation so that, you know, if you want to talk to a board member about an issue, and you have a chance. One of the other things that we were talking about creating is having a like a Dropbox, so that if something comes up here and you may want to say, well, I'd love to get more information on this, it would give you a chance to write down your name, what's your question or concern or whatever it is, drop it off, and that way that somebody could respond to you. We also talked about eventually we're going to have to create a mobile device use policy, which will be worked on. And then the other big one is that we're doing a lot of policy review for a lot of different things, which will be addressed, starting to be addressed this coming Friday.
Thank you, Eric. Any other reports? Okay. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on its consent agenda are hereby approved.
Do we have to make a motion on that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion that with the revised policy committee minutes that I handed to each board member. There's some minor revisions, but I think some important ones.
Second.
April. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda is hereby approved.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Andy? Any comment or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda are hereby approved.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Mike. Oh, I think Mike had his.
Okay.
Any questions? Andy?
Are we moving one, two, A, B, and C, or one at a time?
All the way. It would actually be all the way
it
to the next
all
page.
Way, it would be actually
one, two.
One, two. One, two, A, B, C, and D, E, and F.
Or just ask if we can go on number one separately.
It is
okay.
So can I make a motion to vote on number one?
We would remove it from the consent agenda.
Remove it from the consent agenda, okay.
Okay.
He doesn't have to make a motion for that, right? We just remove it because of one board member, I think, objects.
Okay. Did you have any questions or comments about that particular item?
Well, because she works for me now, I wanted to abstain from the
I understand. Okay. So we'll vote just on that particular item. We are approving the resignation of April Fassett.
Excuse me. Can we go back for a second? There's a motion from Eric. There's a motion from Pauline that you approve the consent agenda. So one, two, and you're going to remove one. What do you?
We're going to remove one. Do we need a separate motion for that?
Well, let's vote on 2A through F, and then you can go vote on number one after.
Sorry, that's how I'm.
Okay.
All right. So voting 2A through F. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. No one objects. Very good. And voting on personnel item one. And we have a motion by Andy. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? And one abstain.
Thanks.
Motion carries. Thank you.
No, thank you for voting.
All righty. Miscellaneous. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the athletic merger with Plattsburgh High School for boys swimming for the 2013-14 school year.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Pauline? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policy, Interscholastic Athletics, number 5280 revised.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
April? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financial. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following grants for the 2013-14 school year. Eric?
Second.
Andy? And the roll call vote.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley? Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Whereas Section 3651-1A and 3A of the Education Law authorizes a school district to establish a reserve fund for the payment of judgments and claims in tax.
Certiorari
proceedings and to make payments therefore. And
motion.
Thank you, Eric.
Here we got the input.
Second.
Colleen? Okay. And a roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley? Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the donation from the Beekmantown Booster Club in the amount of $9,697.60 for a new mat in wrestling room and approve amending the district budget.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Andy? And a roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley? Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Pasino?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Additional items to discuss. The vacancy for the CVES Board of Education. If we choose to vote for this, we would have to set up a time to come here to do that on the 17th. So is this something that we have, we would need at least
five
members to come here on that date?
We can hold a meeting over the superintendent's office.
Sorry.
Okay. Some thoughts about that?
I just had a question. Why do we have to be here separately just to vote on that? We can't include it on one of our,
say the 22nd.
One of our next meetings.
Has to be voted on that day.
That day.
Yeah, everybody, every
us
district
like
that's participating and it votes on it on that day.
Okay. And it could be 6 a.m., it could be 10 o'clock at night or whatever, but.
It has been that.
Okay. Has been that.
Are you interested in being able to participate in voting for that, for the CVES Board of Ed? I need to get an idea or a consensus here. Are we coming in to do this?
We have to.
Okay.
I can do it.
Okay. You'll be here, Ed? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What day of the week is it? Sorry.
Thursday.
If you can do it around this time, I can be here too.
So,
6:30? If that's okay with everyone else.
Yeah, I don't mind driving down, voting, and driving back home.
It may be easier right at the beginning of the day, but if that's the only time you've got us available, who else is available?
Who else is available that evening? Colleen? So I have Colleen, Andy, and Eric. Okay. Anybody else? That's five and just five, so keeping that in mind, and keeping everyone else's time in consideration, please, if these are the five and say that we're going to come, we have to be here. 6:30?
Do you get more people if you vote at 7 in the morning, or?
Would we?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with me, too, in the morning.
Would you prefer morning?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for me to do first thing in the morning.
I wouldn't be able to come till after at least 9:15.
Right, because you have, okay.
I put the kids on the bus.
All right, no problem. Quarter nine is the earliest I can do, but I can do the
too. That would work too.
Okay, so
8:45.
So that really puts you here for what, 9?
I'm sorry.
Colleen?
Oh, I can be here at 8:45.
8:45. Okay.
8:45.
Does that work? Okay. Yes.
It's gonna be Matt.
Okay. Does that allow anybody else to come? Who wanted to come? Leonard? Okay. Very good, then we are set with that. Reconvening the committee for the K-2-3-5 study. That's something that Pauline, April, Kathy, Mary, and I were involved in. and who else? Who am I missing?
You.
Ready
you.
For that? That's it?
That was 4-4.
Okay. We did get a good head start on it last year, and then with events taking place throughout the year that kind of derailed us from some of our projects, this was one of the ones that fell to the wayside, and we've got enough work into it that I think it's really worthwhile to continue to look at whether or not this is something we want to pursue. So we need to set up probably a meeting date with Dan so we can reestablish where we are and where we want to go with this and how to proceed. So if you have, if you can look at calendars and kind of pick a date, that would be most helpful.
How would you like me to send the committee members a list of dates, and then you can send me back, you know, what dates work for you? Would that work?
Yeah, well, you're the one probably we most have to work around, so that would make the most sense.
Okay,
does
so
that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pick 10 dates, throw them out to you, and tell me back what works.
Great, thank you. And we have another vacancy, the Nisbet Area 6 Director. We have a couple of candidates for that, and Joanne, can you tell us more about the voting or what the procedure is for that?
The seat used to be held by
Esther.
By who?
Esther.
Yeah, and before that it was Dana Smith, I think, for a long time. So Esther, she hasn't been there very long, but the seat is up again, and if the board wants to endorse one of the candidates, you can do that. And you need to do that before, I think it was November 1st, I thought. Yeah, the nominations are due by November 1st.
So I can't say that I'm really familiar with the process. Do we have to come to a consensus as a board as to whether or not we want to endorse?
Right, you
right.
Want to endorse, yes, one of the, if you wanted to endorse one of the candidates, yes.
So we put in the portal the gentleman from Malone and the gentleman from Messina that are interested in holding the position, and then you, as a board, just if you feel like you want to make have a position that you prefer one over the other, you can do that, or you just want to abstain.
Well, we have to have this decision by November 1st.
Nominations are due by November 1st, right? Is that right, Dan?
Right.
On the first one, I think. Right
here. Has everyone looked in the portal at the documents that are out there, and do you have copies of any of it?
I have copies of it, yes.
Okay.
Do we? Is that something we can vote on consensusly online, or do we have to vote on it at a board meeting?
You endorse it at the board meeting.
Nominations must be endorsed by at least 5 members of the board from the nomination area. It may be emailed or faxed by 5 p.m. on Friday, November 1st, 2013.
Well, we are meeting again on the 22nd, so can we take the time to look over the documentation and come back to the board on the 22nd with your thoughts and recommendations for a candidate? Are
you
going
to
do that, Andy?
So, I say that after the person's endorsed, then do we vote on them again? Like, is there going to be more than one candidate endorsed? Like, I'm not familiar with the process either.
Once we endorse them, what's the next process, Dan?
Well, why don't I just look into that a little deeper
okay,
and send everybody an email?
Thanks.
It's probably the same way as the CBS board. So you endorse. You know, certain districts endorse the candidate, and then you vote.
Okay.
Right? So they're not, because it's nominations. So it's not, you're not actually going to vote on who's going to hold the seat yet. Just out of those people who submitted their applications to us or their resumes or whatever, which candidate do you want to support? And then they're going to go to all of the districts.
Okay, so.
And it's only nominations, so.
So the person who receives the most nominations will then be
endorsed by board.
Yeah, I mean, we'll double check. But
yeah, we'll call school boards.
They'll
help us out.
Okay. So we can have more discussion about this on the 22nd. Did you have a question?
Yeah, going back to the same subject with CVS, is anybody else on this board want to be on that board as well? Can you only have one?
You only can have one.
One per board? Okay. Because I haven't seen any
well,
other.
Well, it's not per board. There's only so many members allowed, and and there's more, there's only so many members,
but
there's more districts.
That's right, that's
so
right.
So it's then when the districts vote, that's how they retain their seats.
I have a board meeting tomorrow night there. So if you have any questions for me to ask, let me know before tomorrow night about this subject.
Okay. Thank you. We do have a work session scheduled on the 22nd. We will have a presentation, as Dan suggested, on that day regarding the Common Core, and that is open to the public. We most likely, based on what we've done so far, have some board business to conduct. So we really need to ensure that we're going to have a quorum here. And if for any reason anyone knows they will not be in attendance, I need to know well in advance of that meeting. So please, please double check your calendars and let me know. Thank you. Any other items to discuss at this time?
We were sent our revised district goals. Yeah, do you know when we would have to vote on that to adopt them, is that correct?
Yes.
Do we know, is that planned to be done in November, or are we going to try and do it at the October 22nd?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to, have the discussion with the person you're going to meet with on board, your board, you have an expert coming in on your board initiatives, and part of your goals are our board goals. So I didn't know if you wanted to wait before you voted. We're still going to continue working on everything you see. It doesn't, or we can have a discussion on the 22nd and then wait. I mean, we have a lot of flexibility here. I have begun the process of drafting implementation steps for every one of the goals, except for one board goal. So I started that process. I'll be happy to share that, and then just whatever works better for you.
I don't know that we've already voted for a board goal session, and this is a living document now. And like Dan said, you've got to add a bunch of stuff to that spreadsheet anyway. So I don't know that it's necessary to vote on every time.
I don't particularly think so either. And it wasn't something that I had planned for us to discuss tonight. I think this, to me, I thought you had planned to do us more as follow-up and information and kind of a revision on the document that we had going into our last meeting. Part of the purpose of the meeting on the 22nd is to continue on with our work in establishing our timelines and, you know, timelines for review and for checking on the status of each of these things and what our achievements are to date. So I don't think that we have to vote on it each time that we have a change to the document.
Right, because it's a living document, what I wanted to do was send out the spreadsheet that we put together with the implementation steps. I wanted to talk to the administrative team as well and the implementation steps, and then have it, I'm sure you folks have excellent ideas as well. Put those together, make sure they work, and then bring them back for one last discussion. And then again, things might be adjusted as we move forward.
Is there anything?
I guess I have a question. Once the board adopted a month ago, or a couple weeks ago, those were going to post out on the website, or these were going to post out on the website? I guess.
Well, these are an adaptation.
We can post these as drafts.
We can post these as drafts.
What do you think? You're smiling.
You know, we discussed this last week, and that was the issue that was brought up. So, at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to state that says we have to have your board goals, and the public should know what those are. So those are the ones that are approved. So we should have the ones that are approved with mods pending input from faculty and staff. Here's what's coming down the line. It may also allow for the rest of the public and the staff to have an opinion on it as we go forward. So I'd put both, what's approved and what's going to be changed.
I'm comfortable with that as well. I think that's a good solution. Eric?
Also, I just wanted to comment, one of the things we did have a discussion last week too was that our goals are really, there's only five goals: financial sustainability, academic advancement, school community, community, community communication and involvement, continuous improvement, and board goals, and that everything else was an objective. So the objectives are the things that can change and be added and modified. The goals themselves are ones we would be really approving, I think. Whereas the objectives, you could change the objectives and you could add and subtract objectives and modify objectives without a vote. That's how I envision it.
Well, I think that for now, I like that suggestion, taking what we had approved, putting it out there. We'll put this out as a draft so people can see where we're headed with this. The goal of, and I don't know if anybody out there has even what we're looking at, but do they?
No. You want me to hand them my phone?
Sure. That'd be great. We had taken our goals as a district and board, and we tried to create a calendar for them where we could break them out, assign responsibility for some of these items, and create a timeline for us to use to measure where we are with getting these things accomplished throughout the course of this year. We found that sometimes in the past we've set goals and then haven't looked at them again until the next time it's time to set goals, and we're trying to break away from that pattern and get ourselves into an area of accountability that's going to make us have to come back and revisit these things and take a hard look at whether or not we've accomplished any of them. And there are some things that I think you'll see on there, and these will get published out on the website as well, that have a definite impact this year. There are some things that are a little bit more far-reaching, so those are the things that we're trying to determine and get a solid calendar out there so that we have a basis of reference to go back to and to measure ourselves against throughout the course of the year. Okay. And I just want to, before we go on to public comment, just remind everybody again about the work session on the 22nd is open, and that is where we will be having a public presentation pertaining to Common Core. There are a lot of people that I'm sure, myself included, could definitely stand to get more information about what this really means, how it's affecting our students and schools. And so you are all invited to come, and I hope that you'll spread the word and bring some friends. Okay. Public comment. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to address to the board this evening?
Hi, my name is Holly Sims, and I just wanted to say thanks to the board and for Superintendent Mannix for coming in at 6 o'clock, which is earlier than you need to be here, so that you can have a chance to talk with the public. I think that's really important, and I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
One more thing. Mr. Hagedorn, do you want to schedule an operations committee meeting?
Yes, I hadn't had a chance to talk to Mr. Mannix or you about the 15th versus the 22nd, and it seems like the 15th is the only date where everybody else is available. And I spoke to Mr. Noonan, he said either date would work. Mm-hmm.
The 15th, is that Tuesday?
Yeah, they're both Tuesdays.
Yeah, I might be in and out, but that should be pretty close to the close of the project. It might be, Mary, what do you think about the 15th?
The 15th should be, we have a lot going on campus because of professional development coordination, but what time are you thinking for committee?
We really didn't discuss the time for the 15th. The 22nd, we were talking about doing it before our work session, but that doesn't work for one of our members.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be evening, I think. I was going to confirm with everybody.
The 22nd is a good idea. I'm sorry if it doesn't work for one member, but the 22nd, we'll know the resolution of the work that's being done on the 11th and the 15th. So it'll be really, almost the wrap up, the last, mm-hmm. might be the last piece with the conclusion of the building project. So I don't know if that date or, the 15th is an important day.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me talk to everybody again, and I'll get back to you in a day or two.
Okay, very good. Do we have executive session items tonight?
I don't have any executive session.
Does anyone have anything that we discussed this evening in executive session? Then we are good. All right, I guess then.
Motion.
You could be this second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much.
Oh, holy.
I have a question here. Where